Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota National Guard, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Get updates and show information at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Your host is former Command Senior Enlisted Leader for the Minnesota National Guard, retired Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Today, our show is dedicated to the Minnesota Air National Guard, where we'll get to know part of the recruiting team and hear what makes the Minnesota Air National Guard recruiting efforts so successful. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
Camp Ripley can be a busy place during the summer. This is especially true when participants in the Minnesota National Guard youth and teen camps arrive. This one-of-a-kind kids camping experience is open to dependents, nieces, nephews, brothers, sisters, and grandchildren of current retired Minnesota Guard members. Through activities like orienteering, swimming, canoeing, and other team-building events, these volunteer-led camps help kids build confidence, have fun, and gives them a chance to spend time with kids who have a parent or parents serving. For more information on the Minnesota National Guard Youth and Teen Camps, please visit mngyc.org. That's mngyc.org.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I stated in the opening, today's show is all about the Minnesota Air National Guard. And I have four Minnesota Air National Guard members here, and I was talking to Zach, our engineer, and for the first time now, we have to have a guest in the engineer's booth with him, which is unusual, but today is a great topic, and so I want to introduce to you the recruiters that we have here on Minnesota Military Radio today. First, we have Major Andrea Koschuk, who's the recruiting OIC, or officer in charge for the Minnesota Air National Guard. We also have Master Sergeant Kayla Crowdo, who is a recruiting and retention senior enlisted leader. Master Sergeant Jesse Todd is a recruiting flight chief for the 133rd Airlift Wing. And Tech Sergeant Paige Fateh is a recruiting flight chief for the 148th Fighter Wing. Recruiters, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, thank you.
I love hearing all of you going at the same time. This is great, and you know we'll control that throughout the conversation, which is what we want to have here as we learn a little bit about the Minnesota Air National Guard. But one of the things I always think is really important is to hear a little bit about really kind of what brought you into the military and why you served. And I want to start with the officer in charge. So Major Koschuk, you had an interesting career. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it and what led you to the Minnesota Air National Guard?
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, Doug. So I started my military career with the Army National Guard. I was 17, about to graduate high school. My dad served, and I wanted to pay for college. And so I decided to follow in his footsteps, commissioned a few years later as a Medical Service Corps officer, and spent ultimately 13 years on the Army side of the house. And then after our third kiddo was born, decided, you know, I think I'm gonna try the air side. And they had a public affairs role open, and so I made the move. And I was serving as the wing exec about a year ago when this recruiting opportunity came on board. And the military has completely changed my life for all the better. And so I was very excited at the opportunity to help spread that message and bring more airmen into the National Guard.
Well, thank you for your service. And, of course, we served together as well.
Yes.
So again, thank you for that. So now I'll move over to Master Sergeant Crotto. And you are the Recruiting and Retention Senior Enlisted Leader in the metro area. So tell us a little bit about your service and what brought you to the Minnesota Air National Guard.
So I enlisted to active duty originally. I come from a military background, and I wanted to go to school to be a nurse, and my family couldn't afford it. So my dad told me to join the Air Force, and I did 16 years active duty. I recently switched over to the Air Guard, and the reason I switched was mainly for family. It was our better opportunity to be back here because we're all from here, and yeah. My kids wanted that.
Well, there you go. And that's important because, as we've talked about on this show many times, that you can't continue to serve if your family isn't fully behind you and you need that support. So thank you for your service as well. All right, Master Sergeant Todd, as the recruiting flight chief for the 133rd Airlift Wing, tell us a little bit about what brought you into the Minnesota Air National Guard.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was 18, fresh out of high school, gave a shot of college, Normandale in Bloomington, for a semester. Essentially failed all my classes. My parents looked at me and said, hey, you're going to have to figure this out, bud. So aunts, uncles, dad, grandpas, both actually were Air Force. Didn't initially want to go active duty, so looked into the Guard. Thought it'd be a great fit. Started it. Didn't want to make a career out of it. Didn't want to do it full time. Fell in love with it. Couple deployments. Got out there full time and just haven't looked back. So,
wow, awesome. Yeah. Well, and for a guy who was just kind of failing out of college, now look at you.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, you're a flight chief, so that's pretty awesome.
3 degrees later.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you for your service as well. All right, Tech Sergeant Paige Fateh. And I was giving you a hard time before the show because I don't see the little tilde or whatever we call that, the accent
mark.
I don't know. Yeah, but it looks like Feedy to me.
It does. I was a Johnson before I was a Feedy, so it's been a struggle. Yeah. Nobody messed up Johnson, and I'm sick of being a Feedy. It's actually pronounced Fateh. It's French-Canadian. Yeah.
All right. Well, tell us a little bit about your service and what brought you to the Minnesota Air National Guard.
Yeah, I'm also originally from kind of the local area, just right across the border into Wisconsin. I also wanted to go to college. I don't have any military background, but I have middle class background where my parents were like, listen, college is expensive and I'm not really sure what the plan is with that. So I literally am a victim of a recruiter out of high school. And I joined active duty Air Force, and it's, the best decision I ever made. He convinced me by showing me some pictures of some travel he had been on to a bunch of countries. And, the rest was history. I was like, all right, well, you guys can see me in Spain.
Yeah.
And I enlisted on my 17th birthday, actually, into active duty. So I did that for 10 years, had my first baby, similar story to Sergeant Crotto, and was trying to raise a baby without my mom around, and that's tough. And I looked into the Guard, and they had a recruiting position available. So I applied and got to move back home. And, now I'm making up for 10 years that I was away. And, the Guard is the best thing that's happened to me and my family as well.
So as the only odd duck in the group then, your OIC started her career in the Army. Now, is that something that you all kind of give her a hard time about? Or do you
Definitely.
Say, hey, it's about time you found your way to
a little bit
side?
Of both. A little bit of both.
Yeah. And now, Major, do you want to defend yourself at all? Or how do you want to participate?
Hey, we all have to start somewhere. And then I saw the light. And it was them. So here I am. Oh,
okay.
We're glad to have you.
And here she is.
It's a good thing that our listening audience can't actually see the expression that Fateh just made. all right. So let's talk a little bit about the Minnesota Air National Guard. All right. All of you joined for a reason. Like many, college is a big reason, looking for that education, the benefit. There's reasons why each of you have stayed in the Air National Guard. And I think it's important to talk about that. So we'll just kind of go around the horn again real quick. And I want to start with Major Koschuk. Like, why have you stayed?
It's the people, Doug. Mm-hmm. I can't find better people to spend my time with outside of my own family. We all have a shared love for serving our country, and I think that's so special, and that's the primary reason I've stayed.
Does anybody have a reason other than people that you want to share?
No.
Everybody's shaking their head. No. Yeah. It is always about the people, isn't it? You know, when I retired after almost 32 years, and people always ask that, what do you miss the most? And it's always the people, because you develop such a great camaraderie. Now, as a recruiting team, though, obviously we've got representation here from the 133rd. We've got from the 148th. You have a common goal, and that is to bring people into the Minnesota Air National Guard. But to the two flight chiefs, what kind of competition do you have between the two of you as it relates to your individual wings? And so I'll start with the 148th.
Yeah, honestly, I don't really feel like we have much of a competition. We're very different. We're kind of looking for different pools of people. Up in Duluth, we are a really big fish in a really small pond, and that is not what's going on down here with Sergeant Todd. So I think we do really well at just being a team and bouncing ideas off of each other, because we have such different like audiences and demographics and people looking for different things. People are looking typically for a full-time career in Duluth or something of that nature. And
is it fair to say that in Duluth that unless you've been living under a rock, you know about the 148th Fighter Wing?
Yes, sir. Yeah. People actually don't know. I'm speaking very broadly, but people don't know that the 148th is the Air Force. They think it's like its own thing. It's so common. But when I say, like, yeah, I'm in the Air Force or I'm in the Air National Guard, they're like, oh, interesting. Where? And I'm like, well, right up the hill at the 148th. They're like, the 148th? Because it's so common, yeah. The 148th. It's so known there. And our base is phenomenal at, like, partnering with the community. So they do an excellent, excellent job of getting our name out there.
So Master and Todd, 20 seconds. What do you have to say about the 133rd area?
Just to piggyback off of what she said, we're really good at complementing each other, mm-hmm. right? So if we've got some applicants that maybe are looking at going to college up north, we'll help get their foot in the door, and then we'll pass them off to Duluth. And they do the same for us downtown here. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
It is different pools of applicants, for sure. I would say that we get a lot of college students that want to come in for the college.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, this is where we'll take a quick break, and then we'll come back. We'll kind of talk a little bit more about the ins and outs of recruiting, and we'll talk about some of the challenges that you all have faced inside of the recruiting world. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham, and today is a Minnesota Air National Guard show. I've got four representatives from the Minnesota Air National Guard recruiting station here. And in the last segment, we really just kind of got through the introductions and what brought people to their time in the Minnesota Guard, or what led them to the Minnesota Air National Guard. And Major Koscheck, I want to start with you in this segment, because one of the things we were talking about is, you know, early, like we call it back in the old days or back in the day, you know, recruiting for the air side was extremely successful. We joked about waiting lists, but that really wasn't far from the truth. But times changed. And when you came into position, there were some challenges and things that you've recognized. And I just thought maybe you could address what some of those challenges are, and then maybe help us to understand how you've come to fix or address those issues.
Yeah. Excuse me. Sure. So, yeah, like you said, drastically different. You know, folks weren't lined up out the door necessarily to join the Air Guard. And so one of the biggest challenges was that the way that the recruiting force was structured, they simply didn't have enough recruiters. And so Guard Bureau changed that for us. We went from, I think, 4 total in the state to 12. Instead of being able to backfill attrition, if we want to truly grow, we have to have enough recruiters to not only backfill who we've lost, but then grow on top of that. So that has been a huge change in the past year, is just getting a full team of trained recruiters up and running. And so where we're at today is completely different. You know, 12 fully trained recruiters versus 4 has made a tremendous change. And then also MEPS has changed a lot. So that's our military entrance processing station. Before, they weren't able to look at records of applicants. Now they have AI looking at every single medical record that ever, you know, this kid has ever been to, any doctor visit ever. That definitely delayed things. And the need for waivers increased, which slowed down the process tremendously. And in this generation of, I want to do something now, and then I'm distracted by a shiny squirrel.
Right.
Now I don't want to do that anymore. And so while they were waiting, they lost interest. It was a lot of finding out how do we best prepare these kids for MEPS to get through as fast as they can. And then in the same breath, you know, we don't have a waiting list anymore. And so how do we get out in the community to start drumming up that interest so we have a pool again? Sergeant Fateh has done a great job of that. Paige, you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. When I first came to the Air Guard here in Minnesota, I was actually was hired as a traditional recruiter. I later applied to be the flight chief. But one thing I noticed is we were doing, I think, things the way that it had needed to be done in the past when there was a wait list. So now that there wasn't and we really needed people, we were still kind of sitting in our offices and waiting for people to come to us, or waiting for base members to bring people to us. And that just wasn't the case anymore. So having a background in active duty, that's not typically the case. A colonel doesn't bring their daughter to you, or so on and so forth, right? When you're in active duty, just a guy who's going to the mall for some new sneakers is your best applicant. So just finessing what they were already doing and using the skills that I had learned being an active duty recruiter, we were able to really quickly try to figure out how to get business. And another thing that we really leaned on is social media. We created a pretty big social media presence up in our area, and that has been super successful for us.
It's interesting you make the comment about that a colonel doesn't bring the kid into you. I did an interview recently, and that show will broadcast here, I think it's next weekend, for the Welcome Home Pheasant Hunt, and I interviewed Colonel Blazevic. And for those that don't know, Blazevic's kind of just like they kind of ruled Duluth, from what I understand. You know, mm-hmm. there's just a million of them up there.
A million.
And he talked about, you know, this has just been a family tradition. I mean, there wasn't a different choice he was going to make when it came to joining the military. Mm-hmm. It was because everybody before him and their brother had joined too.
Yeah, yeah.
So when you talk about the changes, right, and I'm assuming it is different between the 148th and the 133rd, right? I remember towards the end of my career, the Air National Guard recruiters were being introduced to actually going out to do some school visits at that time. That seemed to be unheard of. Mm-hmm. In the metro area, how do you address that? Because the population, as was alluded to last segment, the population is so big here. You're just that small little fish in this big sea where most people know what the 148th is. So how do you address that with the 133rd? What are you doing to help to get your name and your image out there?
Sure. I think maybe 5-6+ years ago, it was really reactive recruiting. You know, we were just processors. A lot of people were knocking on the doors, calling, emails. But that's changed. So with the staffing plus up that we had, now we have the time and we have the people to help us out to get into the schools, to do the visits, to introduce who we are, what we do for the states, what we do for the country, what we do for the entire world, right, around the globe. It's helped out huge. We have a huge recruiting ambassador team, actually, what we call it. So they're not recruiters, but they love us and they want to help us out.
Yeah.
So we'll tap into those guys to help aid us doing all these school visits, because there's tons of schools, there's tons of colleges, there's tons of tech schools, and it's hard for five people to do all that.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So your team is you have five recruiters on your team. Does that include you, or?
I would be six.
You'd be number six. Okay. Yep. And is that the same up in the 148th? There's a total of six of you?
Yes, sir. Well, we just had a little bit of a structure change. We had a seasoned recruiter who moved into a position that we kind of made up, Major Koshek and I. It is an active duty position, a tier two recruiting position, but she runs all of the officer accessions for the state now.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
That's important.
Very important. And it's one person who she's phenomenal. She's phenomenal. She was a absolute rock star recruiter. So, so we're trying to build an empire, we call it, where we keep people in recruiting, right? You don't come for a couple of years, do some time, get burnt out, and then return back to your crew field. We want you to be able to stay and to make rank. And, having a recruiter or a flight chief with recruiting experience is so important. So to keep people in this career field is super important. But, yes, sir, we have six with an admin and then an officer.
I want to make sure we get Master and Crotto an opportunity to do some speaking as well. So the way I understand it, a flight chief is in charge of the recruiting office. You have the title of Recruiting and Retention Senior Enlisted Leader. What are your responsibilities?
Yes, ma'am. Or sir.
Oh, sorry. My goodness.
Oh, man.
That's okay. You were looking at Major Koshek.
I was. There is a lot that I am responsible for. It's making sure that both my flight chiefs are good to go and their teams are good to go and that we are on the right track for goal or mission, as we say, as well as the retention side piece and making sure that we are meeting the end strength for the state of Minnesota for both the wings. I also dial in a lot of like the resource ed part of it, where I'm making sure we have the funds to do the things that we need to do, trainings up to date, as well as awards and things of that nature. So my side piece is a little bit more of meeting the books on things and making sure they're okay and they have what they need.
Can you talk to us a little bit about the selection process? Because, the active component often just directs people to go into recruiting. So how do you feel recruiting vacancies for the Minnesota Air National Guard?
So So what we do is we advertise the position with all the duty responsibilities and the requirements to be eligible for the job. And then what we'll do is we will do an interview process, and then we'll come up to an agreement on who we think is the best fit for that job.
And would you agree, though, that recruiting isn't for everybody?
100%.
Yeah. I mean, it does take a certain type of a person, an outgoing type of a person, someone who can just start a conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because especially if you've gone through this transition of going out into the public's eye, so to speak, and hitting these schools and trying to talk to people, if you're just standing behind a table mm-hmm. with your cute little banner, you may or may not get someone to come up and talk to you, right? So what kind of techniques have you used at the 148th to, you know, attract that, to get people to interact with you, or, you know, what are you doing?
Yeah, one thing that I really leaned on when I first became the flight chief is getting recruiters in places that they already love. So sending a recruiter to a hockey game, a high school hockey game, if he loves hockey, or like putting myself at a rodeo, right? I'm already in my element. I already know and love things rodeo, so I might as well chat with some people about the Air Guard. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I think once they're in a place where they feel comfortable and then they can really hone in those skills talking to people, then, you know, putting them in a place that they're a little bit less comfortable, then they already have those fine-tuned skills that they need to strike up a conversation. Or, to be honest, we deal with a lot of weird stuff sometimes. So to navigate around that, yeah. like learning to, you know, tactfully dismiss people or whatever yeah. the case may be. Teaching them in a place that they're comfortable, and then they can knock it out anywhere.
Yeah. All right. We're going to take a quick break here. We'll come back, and I'm going to put each of you on the spot where you're going to provide some advice to people about joining the Minnesota Air National Guard. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. In a moment, we'll continue our conversation about the Minnesota Air National Guard recruiting. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Commissioner of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, Brad Lindsay.
Many veterans are drawn to have their service recognized long after they've passed. Here at MDVA, we are committed to providing dignified and compassionate burial options for veterans. This is often one of the only benefits they request. We operate 4 state veteran cemeteries located in Little Falls, Preston, Duluth, and Redwood Falls. Minnesota State Veteran Cemeteries are highly rated for the beautifully maintained grounds where loved ones can visit to pay their respects. In addition, each cemetery integrates sustainability efforts to ensure harmony with nature. Learn more about our state veteran cemeteries at minnesotaveteran.org/cemeteries.
Thank you, Commissioner Lindsay. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. So in the last segment, Tech Sergeant Fateh was talking about her love for the rodeo and putting people in a place where they enjoy being, and that makes them more comfortable when efforts are putting forth to meet people and talk about the benefits of the Air National Guard. And I had to cut you off, Master Sergeant Todd. Maybe you can just tell us a little bit about some of the things that you do with your team to help promote, you know, getting out in the public. And
yeah, absolutely. So what's cool about the Air Guard is that we're your local hometown military, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of members that we have are local kids. So me, personally, I graduated from Burnsville High School. So it's no problem for me to go to the Burnsville High School to do a school visit and talk to the football team because I played for them, right? Talk to the wrestlers because I wrestled for them, right? We have another recruiter that's from Egan. Same thing with him. He loves going out there talking to the school, to the kids. I call them kids, right? But another one's from Cottage Grove. She loves to go out there and communicate with the high schools. So it's getting them to familiar places where they're comfortable, it's really easy for them to be effective and
Definitely.
Passionate. Yeah.
And, you know, as you get out and visit the schools, is your primary focus really the high school? I mean, I know that's like your target audience, right? Mm-hmm. But will you spend time in some of the other places, i.e. a community college or a four-year college or something like that? Are you really focused on the high schools?
I would say both, right? Because mm-hmm. one of the huge benefits we offer is essentially a four-year scholarship, right? So maybe it's somebody like me that did a semester and flunked out, and didn't have enough money to go back.
You know, interestingly enough, you kind of say that with a little bit of pride.
Look at me now. Right?
So we appeal to both. We appeal to the senior that is starting their college journey that might need some help.
Yeah.
But also maybe the one semester, two semester college, that didn't do too well. Yeah. And now we're another option. Or maybe it's the people that don't even want to go to college, but they want to learn how to be a plumber or an electrician. Mm-hmm. And we offer all that.
Go ahead.
Sorry, another thing I was going to say that's a little bit different than my time in active duty is going to, like, the local rodeo. I'm just going to talk about this all day. Even if you meet, like, a grandma, right? In active duty, if you're speaking to someone's grandma, typically they're going to then, you know, go back and it might come back around to work, but we're local. We're right here. So she'll go home, tell grandma or tell Miss Nancy at church. All of a sudden, everyone's talking about the recruiter they met at the rodeo. And you know what I mean? It spreads like wildfire because we are local, because you can serve right here and still go to church with grandma and Miss Nancy.
Yeah. That's got to be kind of interesting, especially when it does come full circle.
And yeah.
That person says, my grandma said that she met you at the rodeo.
We really lean on that in Duluth. I want to know where you found us because I want to lean into those resources.
Yeah, we
really lean on that data.
So, Master Sergeant Corrado, when we talk about, you know, the active component, we talk about the National Guard, obviously recruiting in both places. Can you, like, tell us what are some of the differences that you've really noticed about life recruiting on active duty versus for the Minnesota Air National Guard?
I would say that the Air Guard definitely has a leg up on active duty because they give you that opportunity to stay home and still serve your country as well as your state, and not taking away from your family time and just having that support that you always need, right? And then on the active duty side, like, you have to talk these kids into taking these jobs that are going all over the world. You don't have to do that here. You still get that experience, that job training, that free education, and stay home. Like, that's the main difference, and it's a big leg up.
And is the goal, and I'll come back to you because you want to talk anyway, which I was told was going to be very common, which
always
is why you're in the hot seat. Is it really about, I hate to say selling, right? But you want to, quote unquote, sell somebody on the opportunity to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And then the job is really secondary. Is that kind of how you see it? Or how do you do it?
Nope. I think every person's different, but I would say I don't find a lot of people who just want to serve their country anymore.
Okay.
Which, like I said, is really unfortunate. I figure out what they want, like whether it's to maybe leave the local area, then I'll point them in the direction of an active duty recruiter. If it's college, if it's a skill, and then lean in on that. But I would say majority of the people we're looking at are looking for college or looking for a skill they can come back and use straight away in the civilian world because they don't want to go to college.
Do you have active duty Air Force recruiters up in the Duluth area?
Yes, sir.
All right. And then down at the 133rd, obviously the metro area.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So yeah. Do you often refer to the active component? Do you have a good relationship with your counterparts?
Yeah,
there?
Absolutely.
Yeah,
and it goes both ways. Mm-hmm. So if we're talking to someone that wants to get out of town, go active duty, they want to do this full time, we 100% will refer them to our active duty counterpart, and vice versa. If they get someone that just wants to stay home and go to college, they'll definitely call us and hit us up too. So it goes both ways. Very good relationship with them. And that's, you got to do that.
Have to, all the branches. So, I think that's so important.
So, Paige, you touched on, you know, kind of this thing about, you know, a lot of people really just don't want to serve their country, right? So you got to find that why.
Mm-hmm.
What's generally the number one why?
I would say the number one why in the Guard is college benefits. We pay $18,000 a year.
I'm glad you just answered that because I have that as a question I want to ask you. So $18,000 mm-hmm. a year, how has that come about? How do you get to that number?
So I think it's based off correct me if I'm wrong, Major, it's based off of the U in the Twin Cities, what their average,
undergrad rate.
Yep. And then that's how Minnesota came up because every state is different. Wisconsin.
Well, we don't talk about Wisconsin here generally.
Go Petco. No, they do less. They do less. So a lot of like kids from Superior come and join us because we have, I think it's like $4,000.
And you're specifically talking about the Minnesota Tuition Reimbursement Program.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and that's added to any federal benefits that they might get for education as well. And so that's how you get to the $18,000 with those two programs, or it could be even more?
It could be even more, yes, sir. Like if you're on AGR orders, then we're eligible for both. But for a traditional guardsman, it's the $18,000 plus kickers and
– Yeah, the state tuition reimbursement is just $18,000 alone.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then anything other than that, your federal
– It's extra, yeah.
That's just extra money in your pocket.
Now, do you guys have any type of bonuses right now for people joining the Air National Guard?
We do, yeah, up to $25,000.
Yeah, well, we have a couple left for $50,000 in Duluth. It's
okay,
based
wait,
on
we got to slow down here because somebody's listening right now, and they're like, wait a minute, there could be potentially a bonus. Not that we want to join just for the money, but if you're going to join because you want to serve maybe or you want to go to college, let's get a bonus along the way. So the $50,000, is that just something specific to the 148th, or is it a particular job inside of the National Guard? What is that?
Yeah, do you have any $50,000 left?
No.
Okay, so it's based upon career fields. Federally, it's federal. So every Air National Guard across America has the same list that's pushed out. And it depends on, you know, your base if they have it and if they have a vacant position. So we have, I believe, one, and I think one of my recruiters might have sold it. But all of that to say, it depends on the specific job. And then we also have local bonuses. Is that what you have available, Jesse?
Yeah. $10,000 local bonuses. Mm-hmm. Some of the, I think there's one $25,000 federal bonus left.
Yeah. What do you have? What do you have left?
For jobs, we have like only five different jobs left.
Amazing. But this is why someone wants to come and talk to a recruiter, right? Because
yeah.
You can lay all of this out. And mm-hmm. we know that certain jobs someone might not be eligible for because it's based on that ASVAB score, whatever
yes,
that
sir.
Stands for. I forget now. But, you know, you got to take that aptitude test. And okay. Sorry. So we've got less than a minute. And I'm just going to pose this question to Master Sergeant Corrado. So now it's down to 35 seconds. What advice do you give to someone who's considering joining?
Take your time and study.
Mm-hmm.
Get the ASVAB for Dummies book and take your time and study because that ASVAB score is going to determine what jobs you qualify for.
Great. That question's coming back to everybody else here after this break. Please stay with us. This is Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Doug Wortham. And again, this is the Minnesota Air National Guard recruiting roundtable that we're having. Great conversation. And the last segment, we ended on a question about what advice. And so I want to come to Master Sergeant Todd. What advice do you have for someone who might be considering the Air National Guard?
Yeah, what's cool about the Air Guard is you actually get to pick your own job. So as you're going through that process, if you're young, think about how is this job going to benefit me on the civilian side? Maybe that's the same job you want to do on the civilian side. So leverage that. Maybe you're a little bit older. Maybe pick a different job that what you do Monday through Friday on the civilian side to gain a new skill set. That's what I recommend.
Awesome. And what about you, Tech Sergeant Fateh?
I think mine is similar to Master Sergeant Crotto. It's do your own research. Like I think people are destined to not want to trust recruiters. And you don't have to. Like, the internet is a beautiful thing. Obviously, there's some crazy stuff on the internet, but research the jobs. There's YouTube videos, A Day in the Life as a Crew Chief. You know, there's tons of resources on the internet. You're your best advocate. So figure out what would be best for you by doing all that research.
And do you let people come out to either of the wings if they want to just take a look and do shadowing?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Awesome. So that's always an opportunity. So I want to finish up the conversation with Major Koscheck. And two questions for you. One, why is it important to have good strength numbers inside the Minnesota Air National Guard? So let you answer that one first.
Yeah, that's huge. We actually talked about that in a briefing yesterday, and we talk about it regularly. In order to be relevant, we have to have a high end strength. We have to be full because, you know, it's our tagline, always ready, always there. If we don't have people to fill the seats to do the jobs, we can't, you know, fulfill that mission. So having a high end strength is critical to who we are and also who we could potentially be. If National Guard Bureau is looking to, you know, add more force structure to us and we have high end strength and we have a recruiting team that can fill it, we might get it. And that's good for the Guard. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's why things like at the 148th, you get the, you know, updated 16s, and that's why you get the J models or whatever it is at the 133rd.
Yes.
So those types of things. All right. So last question then for you. You know, you've got a big responsibility. This is your team, your recruiting team. Mm-hmm. You obviously have a goal or a mission. Mm-hmm. But what do you want people to know about the team that you supervise, that work for you or with you, that you lead as it relates to recruiting?
Yeah, I would say if you're going to come talk to an Air Guard recruiter and you're in Minnesota, if you're having an inkling or you have any questions, we're here to answer your questions with no pressure. You're going to talk to a professional. Our team last year, our average recruiter put in 34 new members and the active duty was 19. So not only are we going to answer your questions, if this is what you want, we're going to get it done for you. So I think that's what I'm most proud of this team. They're trustworthy. They want people that want to serve with us, and it reflects in our retention, which is frankly very high. People don't leave when they come, which says a lot about our organization.
Yeah, and I think that's a big thing right there when we talk about that retention is, you know, the family that you all were talking about, the people itself that just keeps people around, and that's awesome. So today's been great. This has been a wonderful conversation. I've learned a couple of new things. I learned about a shiny squirrel, so that's kind of neat. I learned that you can fail or flunk out and still be a successful recruiter.
Look at that.
Right?
And A-plus, baby.
I also learned that you can like rodeos and do rodeoing and also be a successful recruiter. Now, one of you is going to have to help me out. What did we learn about Master Sergeant Corrado today?
Lord, I learn something new about her all the time.
Really? Yeah. Well, she's the quiet one in the group.
She definitely is. But she's observing. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what. Because she will remember and repeat it back to you when you don't think she's listening. So,
100%.
Well, I am. This has been a lot of fun. I really appreciate you guys coming in. And does one of you have the website? How do people get information about the Minnesota Air National Guard? I'm looking around. I'm going to put someone on the spot because we want people to come and get more information. And here we go.
Yeah, we do really well on social media. It's just Minnesota Air National Guard Recruiting on Instagram, Facebook. And our website is just going to be goang.com, like traditional guard website.
Done.
Yeah, go get it done.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you so much. That is Major Andrea Kostchik, Master Sergeant Kayla Crotto, Master Sergeant Jesse Todd, and Tech Sergeant Paige Fatay. Recruiters, thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Calling in from the flag line is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you. It's always an honor.
Well, Tim, good to have you on the phone. We've only got a few minutes together today, and you got a couple of things that are pretty important you want to talk about. And the first one is we talk about leadership inside of the Patriot Guard here in Minnesota. You've got some elections going on right now.
We do. We have two open positions our positions run like 2 years at a time. And it's time to reelect two new members to the board of directors. And if you feel that you're interested in joining the board, go to our webpage, mnpatriotguard.org. And right on the top, it says interested in joining the board of directors. Click on that link and fill out the information, and we'll get you in the running.
So a good way for someone to get involved. What kind of responsibilities might that person have?
Well, in what we do is the board of directors takes care of the financial end of, you know, insurances and all that stuff. More of the administrative, but they play a big role in donations and the way we allocate out the monies that we get and things like that. So it's a pretty important one. It's a nonprofit organization, so yeah, we always have to follow really strict guidelines, and we need the expertise to help us with that.
And I would imagine they really help shape in kind of the focus or the future, that strategic vision of the organization as well.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
All right. Now, you also want to talk about something that's always a lot of fun, and sometimes it can get a little bit crazy, and that is bingo. So how about you talk to us about that?
It is. We go around and we have groups of people that run bingo at veterans' homes. And if you're interested in it, on our webpage, under the calendars, if you look on there, it'll say bingo for Bemidji or bingo for Minneapolis or, you know, anything like that. But I tell you, it's fun to go to. And it's always fun to listen to the veterans talk about their past. And, you know, it always amazed me that people could, the veterans there, they couldn't remember their family names, but they could tell you every freckle on the kid that was sitting next to him in a foxhole.
Yeah, I bet you those stories are just amazing. And what a great way to learn a little bit of history, too, isn't it?
Yep, it is. You know, and we're doing is really helping them play bingo. And you should see how excited one of those veterans is when they win a quarter.
And for a quarter, yeah, it's about the camaraderie. We're running up against the clock here, but Tim, real quick, once again, give us the website and tell us what kind of person you're looking for to volunteer with the Minnesota Patriot Guard.
Okay, mnpatriotguard.org. And what we're looking for is people that have worked with finance, worked with nonprofit organizations. It's just a general running of the business.
Yep, and if someone wants to volunteer on the other side to be on the flag line, 3x5 flag, and just a passion to serve, right?
Yep, and go to the same webpage, and right on there it says join the MN Patriot Guard org, and we'll start sending you information.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Tim, hey, thanks so much for coming on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope that your search for new board of directors board goes well.
Yes, it will. Thank you.
You bet. Before we close out today's show, I'd like to say thanks for tuning in to Minnesota Military Radio. We appreciate your continued support. We strive to bring you quality content each week and look forward to hearing your feedback and suggestions for future topics and guests. Please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, click on Contact Us to send us your thoughts. Join us next week when you'll hear a special recorded episode during the Welcome Home Pheasant Hunt out at Wild Wings of Oneka, sponsored by the Hugo Beyond the Yellow Ribbon. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Doug Wortham, your host on Minnesota Military Radio. I hope you have a productive week and you find a way to thank and honor those who have and those who continue to serve and sacrifice so we can enjoy the liberty and freedom this great country has to offer.